27 and 28. A little context here. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, the experts in the law. These would have been the really religious people of the day. And certainly some of them probably really were obedient to God. But as we see in the scriptures, there were a lot of them that really looked the part. They looked the part. They spoke the right words. But Jesus called them out pretty harshly here in Matthew chapter 23. And we're just reading a couple of little verses here, but that might be good homework for you this week if you want to go through and read all of Matthew 23. It's pretty stern, the language that Jesus uses. So let's read through the text, Matthew 23, 27, and 28. Then we'll pray and get started. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of a dead men's bones and every impurity. In the same way, on the outside you seem righteous to people, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your word. And dear Lord, this is a heavy word. It was heavy for the Pharisees. And dear Lord, maybe it's heavy for us today. Maybe we fall into this same category, dear Lord. Maybe we do a good job of looking good on the outside, but being pretty rotten on the inside, dear Lord. So God, maybe we are hypocrites today. If so, I pray that your word would speak to us to let us see that you would encourage us through this word, dear Lord, that we would learn from our hypocrisy and God be those who genuinely trust you and serve you and live for you. God, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, that you would take away any pride or any fear I have today, that I would be able to preach and teach your word in a way that brings glory and honor to you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak the words that you want me to speak, that you want us to hear, and that we would listen to them, dear Lord, and that they would transform our lives. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. When you read through Matthew 23, you will see in this short little section here, in a 19-verse span, Jesus calls this group hypocrites seven times. Now, this is kind of a dirty word. This is not a word that any of us would like to be called. None of us would like to be called out in our hypocrisy. We wouldn't like that, especially this religious group, especially this group that Jesus was talking to, because they would have really considered themselves to be something special. They really would have said that they were probably a little better than everybody else. They were better at following God's laws than everybody else. They were better at doing what God said than everybody else. But Jesus saw through that. He saw through their religion. He saw through their outward actions. And he knew that their heart was not right. That's pretty evident to tell as you read through the New Testament, as you see these encounters that Jesus has with these Pharisees. Quite often, it's easy to see that their hearts are totally from where they need to be. They are far from being hearts that are focused on God. And here in Matthew 23, Jesus really calls them out for it. So you can understand why it wasn't long after this point that Jesus was nailed to a cross. They didn't like Jesus. And then Jesus goes and really gets on them here in Matthew 23. And certainly that would not have been well received by this audience. But what does he say in this scripture? What does he compare them to? He says in verse 27 that they are like whitewashed tombs which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every impurity. Now, whitewashing, that might be something that you're familiar with, or maybe not. If you watch HGTV, you see a lot of home restoration shows. Sometimes you see that's a popular thing. It kind of became popular here in the last few years. And it's a good way to take something that's old, and particularly brick, if you want more of a fresh look, to whitewash it. Now, whitewashing is predominantly made up of lime. Now, a lot of times what you see on these shows, they'll just water down some paint and scrub it on there. But traditionally speaking, when you talk about whitewash, it's a lime is kind of the main ingredient, and it can be a little thicker than what we may think of as whitewash today. And it was common, especially in those days, to wipe it and smear it along and around the entrance of a tomb or a rock that covered a tomb, whatever it may be. That tomb would be covered in whitewash. Now, that may have been for a couple of different reasons. Some have suggested that tombs in those days were marked with whitewash to make them stand out. That way nobody would get too close to a tomb and be unclean because they touched something from a dead body. And so some have suggested that whitewashed tombs was simply a way for people to easily identify that there was a grave there. Now, we kind of, in our day, most of our graves are in a graveyard. It's easy to tell where the graves are. They're usually within a fence of some sort, and they're usually well kept, and they're usually marked by a tombstone. But in Bible times, there might have been a grave here and a grave there, and might have been a hole in the rock somewhere here that they were stuck in. And so these tombs were kind of all over the place. And so whitewashing might have been one way to establish that there was a tomb there that everybody would easily be able to see, those traveling from out of town. Perhaps there were some other purposes for it too, though. As far as lime goes, lime is good at killing disease. It's a good disinfectant. And so it might have had some disinfectant qualities too. After all, you've got a tomb there, you've got a dead body. The dead body begins to decay. There could have been some disease there. And so perhaps part of it was simply, we want to make sure to disinfect this area and to take care of everything. And you still, throughout the centuries, whitewashing is something that you see. Some places in the world, it's kind of a part of their style, part of their building structures. The Cyclades, some islands off of Greece, those islands are known for the fact that they have whitewashed buildings. Every building there is whitewashed. Every one of them is whitewashed with blue doors and blue shutters and blue everything. That's kind of their style. And so throughout the years, people have used whitewash for a variety of things. And whitewashing in and of itself is not bad. But Jesus is using this term to make a comparison here. To say, okay, there's a contrast between what you think you are and what you really are. And so when he tells these people that they're hypocrites, and he's already said it several times before we get to this verse, they're probably already steaming. And then he simply uses something that they're all familiar with, and he compares them with tombs. Now, they would have been proud if they would have been considered whitewashed, if they would have been pure and clean and disinfected, so to speak, from all the sin around them. They probably would have wore that title proudly. But what Jesus said is, you are like a tomb. Now, anybody that knows about tombs and about graves know that it doesn't matter what you see on top of the ground. And the truth of the matter is this, that what's in the ground, it is rotting and it is decaying. And we might not like to think about that, but that is the cycle of life. That's the way things go. I was walking by the cemetery the other day and I saw some beautiful tombstones. And there are some people probably in your family, and maybe when you die, you're going to have a beautiful tombstone, and maybe on top of the ground, your family is going to keep it well manicured, and it's going to have the most beautiful flowers kept up all year round for every season, and your tombstone may be encrusted with diamonds. I don't know. It may be as beautiful as it can be, but in the ground, we are going to decay to the point to where we will eventually turn back into dust. And Jesus tells his audience here, who thought that they were really holy, really special, Jesus says, you are like a tomb, like a whitewashed tomb. Jesus says, on the outside, you are beautiful. You are spotless, and it's easy for everybody to see who you are. They can see you from a mile away by what they see on the outside, and they can say, oh, wait, there's those holy Pharisees. And then Jesus tells them the hard part, the part that they don't want to hear, the part that maybe you and I don't want to hear today. And Jesus says, on the inside, you are rotting away. On the outside of that tomb, it's beautiful, but Jesus says, inside of that tomb is nastiness and dirtiness and filth and gross stuff, and it is rotting away. And Jesus says, you look the part on the outside, but inside, you are a dirty, rotten, nasty sinner. Whoa. Well, those are pretty heavy words that Jesus uses here. And maybe he picks this term whitewashing. Maybe he's trying to call his audience back to Ezekiel 13. There's a large section in Ezekiel 13 where God is condemning the false prophets, those who are acting like they are God's people, but really they are leading people astray from God. They are leading people in the wrong direction. And the same illustration is used there. It's used of the false prophets to say, oh, look, you've made whitewashed walls, but one day those walls are going to crumble because they're not built on God. And then you'll gather around and say, but what about all the beautiful whitewash? What happened to these beautiful walls? We see the same language in Acts chapter 23 when Paul is always on trial. He's always under attack. And on one of those occasions, he's brought before the high priest and he uses the same language. He says that they are like a whitewashed wall, the Sanhedrin and the high priest that Paul has brought before. Now, certainly it seems as though Paul is referencing that story in Ezekiel in the same way that Jesus is here. And what Jesus tells his audience and what Paul told his audience and what God told his audience in Ezekiel is this. Is it does not matter what's on the outside. It matters what's on the inside. This is a simple and basic truth that we see throughout the New Testament. We see this in a few ways maybe that Jesus reveals the same truth to us in his teaching. And that is, we don't want to be those who simply look the part on the outside. We want to be those people who live for God on the inside. And so we have a simple question that we have to answer today, and I can't answer that question for you, and you can't answer that question for me. We can all look as good as we want to look on the outside. We can fool everybody. We can do all of the religious things, and we can say long prayers, and we can do a lot of really religious stuff and come to church and put lots of money in the plate, all to be seen by people, and we may have every appearance of good in our life, but we need to look at our heart, because within our hearts there may be every appearance of evil in our life. And so perhaps today we need to look at ourselves and we need to see, is there sin there? Is there evil there? Is there rottenness there that we're simply trying to cover up? Are we simply trying to cover it up? Are we trying to whitewash our lives? Are we trying to fool everybody in this building today? And you may can fool everybody in this building. You may have done a good job of that, but you can't fool God. And no matter how we look on the outside, one day we will stand before God. And God always looks at the heart. God doesn't look at what man looks like, it looks at. God looks at our heart. So what's on our heart today? Are we whitewashed tombs today that are rotten on the inside? Or are we those who are on the inside who are doing the will of God, living in obedience to God? If we're not, today we need to stop pretending. We need to ask God to change our heart. We need to go before God with the things in our heart that shouldn't be there, the things that we struggle with. And maybe today we need to acknowledge a hard truth that we would rather not admit, and that is that we are hypocrites. That we come to church on Sundays, that we say we love the Lord, but yet we don't live it out. We don't show it in our actions, we don't show it in our attitudes, we don't show it in the way that we treat other people. And maybe today, if we're honest with ourselves, maybe there are more of us in here than we'd care to admit that we are a bunch of hypocrites today. And praise the Lord. If we come to that truth today, if we hear this passage today, if we hear the words of Jesus today, how will we respond? Well, the Pharisees, many of them at least, it doesn't appear, responded very well. Wouldn't it have been great if they would have said, Jesus, you know, you're right. We are a bunch of hypocrites. But they didn't. They continued in their hypocrisy and did their best to get rid of Jesus. What about you and I this morning? We hear the words of Jesus here. Are these words speaking to us today? Yes, they were spoken to some Pharisees, but Jesus is speaking to us today too. Will we hear these words and respond to them? Will we ask him to forgive our hypocrisy and will we strive to live in obedience to him? Or will we simply walk away angry at the word of God today? Let us not be those who walk away from the Word of God, but walk to the Word of God and trust in Jesus Christ, and not those who live in hypocrisy, but those who live in the Word in obedience to God. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you. We thank you for your good Word today. I pray that you would help us to consider this simple truth. Dear Lord, maybe we fooled ourselves. Maybe we've whitewashed ourselves so good we think we're a little better than we are. Dear Lord, maybe we think just like the Pharisees today. Maybe we fall into the same traps. We don't like to admit it. We don't like to think it no more than they did. God, maybe if Jesus come in here today and preached to us, we might not receive his word any better than they did. We think we would, dear Lord, but the problem is, God, we have sin in our life just as they did. So, dear Lord, I pray that you would help us to examine ourselves, to see the areas of hypocrisy in our life that we have, that we stop pretending, that we don't put on a mask that we're something better than we are, but, dear Lord, we just come to you and just lay it all out. God, we are broken, we are a mess, we are rotten, we are sinners. And God, I pray that you would just help us to see that, to be convicted of that, to confess that to you today, to repent of our sins. God, that's what your word calls us to, that we would repent of our hypocrisy. Yeah, if we're hypocrites, God, that's bad, but we don't have to keep being a hypocrite. So I pray that you help us, because it's a struggle, dear Lord. There are some parts of our life that we live in hypocrisy, we don't even realize it. We don't even know it. So help us to see those things and be made aware of those things, to repent of those things, God, and not to just look apart, dear Lord. We don't want to just come to church on Sunday and look apart. We really want to know who you are, dear Lord, and live for you. We really want our hearts to be changed so that people wouldn't see us on the street and see us as a hypocrite, but people would see us on the street and see us as people who love you and who love others, dear Lord, that you would receive all the glory from that. So God, help us to be a good example, because, dear Lord, what a tragedy it is that those of us who are supposed to represent you sometimes fail so miserably, God. We have to be a light to the world, dear Lord. And if our light is nothing more than hypocrisy, then, dear Lord, we're not doing a good job of turning people to you. And even worse, dear Lord, we may be turning people away. So I pray, dear Lord, that you would just help us during this Christmas season, that we would remember the light of the world in Jesus Christ, that we would seek to be a light in the world with the people we encounter, dear Lord. Forgive us of our sinfulness, dear Lord. We can whitewash the outside, but dear Lord, we pray today that Jesus would whitewash the inside with his precious blood, that we'd be cleansed as white as snow. And if there's one in this room that doesn't know Jesus, God, I pray today that they would repent, confess their sins, and ask forgiveness. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.